Several years ago, my father and I were hiking in an area where the first and second battles of Bull Run were fought in the Civil War. And as we were going down one of the trails, we noticed a ruin of a foundation out in an overgrown field. And so, like a couple of boys, we decided to go and check it out. And we decided it must have been a church at some point, maybe an old family homestead, because near the foundation were some very old, weathered and worn gravestones. On several of the gravestones, it was just a first name and a last name and a date. But there were a couple of gravestones that just had a first name on them, right? And it makes you wonder, who were these people, right? What did they do? What was their story? What brought them to this place? But other than a gravestone, there's nothing known about them. You know, how would you feel if 150 years after your death, the only thing specific about you, the only known record of your life was your first name, right? No biography, no eulogy, no legacy to speak of. Even those that are further down your family tree really have no idea who you were. Now, for some of us, maybe that's not a comfortable thought. I mean, most of us, we want to leave some sort of mark. We want our lives to make a difference. We want to leave a legacy, right? And we hope that our 80 years or so on this planet amounts to something more than just a name and a date. We want to be remembered, right? We want others to know that we were here. That's certainly what Steve Jobs thought, the CEO of Apple, the former CEO, the late Steve Jobs. One of the things that he often told reporters who were interviewing him was that he wanted to leave a ding in the universe. I want to put a ding in the universe. I want to leave my mark. Now, most would certainly agree that Steve Jobs accomplished that, but it's not how history remembers you that's important, right? Your significance is not determined by what others say about you after you're gone. How Earth remembers us isn't the deal. Ultimately, it's how heaven remembers us. And to illustrate this point, I only need to read a simple list of names from Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 13 through verse 16. And here's what it says. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated as apostles. Simon, who he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Now, when we read this list of Jesus' apostles, you know, some of the names just leap right off the page. Guys like Peter and James and John and even Judas Iscariot, all right? We know who they are. We know what they did. History records their words and actions in detail. The scriptures are full of their teaching. But tucked away into this list are a couple of names that are so obscure that we tend to just skim right over them and not even notice. They are James, the son of Alphaeus, and Judas, the son of James, right? No relation between them. This isn't father and son. But basically, all we know about these two guys are their names and the names of their fathers and that they were apostles. So what do we know? Well, the fact that they were apostles does tell us some very important things about them. Number one, they gave up everything to follow Jesus, right? They left their jobs, their homes, everything to follow Jesus. And even when everyone else abandoned him, they still followed him. Secondly, we know that as apostles, they were empowered, right? First by Jesus and then later by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to perform miracles, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. right, they were able to do, in the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:12, the things that mark an apostle: signs, wonders, and miracles. Thirdly, because of their uncommon calling, they helped form the foundation of the church. Ephesians 2:20 tells us that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus himself as the cornerstone. There's one other thing, though, that we know about them, but I'll save that for the end of the message. But until Jesus called these men and set them apart, there was nothing special about them. They did nothing of note. They weren't known for any sort of accomplishment or achievement, nothing remarkable about them that set them above others, all right? They had no great fame. They were just common men with an uncommon calling. Now, other than that uncommon calling, they were so common that we know next to nothing about them, right? If they ever wrote anything, right, it's been lost to us. If they ever asked Jesus any insightful questions or said or did anything to stand out from all the other disciples, the New Testament writers didn't record it, right? Basically, all we have are their names. So let's look at each of these guys, all right? Now, when you compare the list of names of the disciples in each one of the Gospels and a couple of other scriptures, we do discover a couple of important facts, or curious facts anyway. One is that we find out that James's mother, who's named Mary, she's one of the many Marys in the New Testament, but Mary was a devoted follower of Jesus. In fact, she is one of the women who was present at the crucifixion. She was also one of the women who came to help prepare his body for burial. Now, in Mark chapter 15, verse 10, in the NIV, James is called James the Younger. Other translations will call him James the Less or James the Lesser. The Greek word used there is mikro, from which we get our word micro, and it means small or little. Literally, he is James the Small or Little James. Now, maybe this means that he was the younger of the two Jameses. And that was to kind of set him apart from the two James, all right? Or it could mean that he was short of stature. He was literally little. He was Little James. And there are some Bible scholars that think, well, what it means is that he was of little notoriety, or he wasn't well known for anything. And that certainly makes sense for how little we know about him. Now, the early church accounts of James and what he did, they're sketchy at best, and much of what they contain we know is legendary. Some records indicate that he may have gone to Syria and Persia and taken the good news of Jesus there. There's also varying accounts of his death, all right? Some say that he was stoned. Others say that he was beaten to death. Others still say he was crucified. The bottom line is we don't know, all right? All we know is that he died for his faith. And then there's Judas, right? Now, when we look at Judas, we know very little about him other than he had the bum luck to share a name with the guy who would betray Jesus, right? I mean, Judas had been a perfectly fine name until Judas Iscariot came along and ruined it for the rest of history. I mean, how would you like to go through life named Adolf or Jezebel, Ted Bundy or Osama? Right. Now, Luke and John both distinguish this Judas from that Judas. You know, they want us to know he's not that Judas. Matthew and Mark use a different name for him altogether to avoid any confusion. They call him Thaddeus. The thing about Thaddeus, though, is it's not really a name, it's a nickname. And it means breast child. You know, think of a baby still at his mother's breast. This could mean that he was the youngest of all of them. He was the baby of the group. And so all of the guys call him Thaddeus. It's sort of a teasing nickname of endearment. It's like calling him mama's boy. right? It's a bunch of guys who hang out together all the time. It's certainly not too big of a stretch. And John 14:22 records the only words that we have of this Judas in Scripture. It's in the upper room at the Last Supper, and he asked Jesus this, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" In other words, he's asking, why are you telling us all this stuff, but you're not telling everybody else? Other than that, we have no other words. And it's certainly maybe more insightful than some of the other things the other disciples were saying at the time, but it's not really a whole lot to build on. So here you have two men called to fill two of the most important roles in all of history, and yet we know next to nothing about them. Right? History records no accomplishment or achievement other than that they were chosen by Jesus. Right? Their teachings, their writings have not been handed down through the generations. So from an earthly perspective, right, if you were a history scholar, you'd have to say that their impact was minimal at best. But is that what matters? Right? Is that what's important? How history remembers us? And is that what we're seeking? Is that what we're striving for? Are we here? Are you here to leave your mark? Is that why Jesus called James and Judas? Right? Now, certainly he wanted them to make some sort of an impact. In Mark 16:15, he calls them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations, all creation. The good news that they proclaimed helped change history, right? Even though history remembers almost nothing of their specific contribution. But here's the bottom line, and this is the takeaway I want you to have this week. What matters most is not how history remembers us. It's how eternity remembers us. What matters most is not how history remembers you, but it's how eternity remembers you. In Revelation 21, the Apostle John gets this sneak peek of our eternal home. You know, he sees this grand vision of a beautiful heavenly city coming down, and it's the new Jerusalem. And here's one of the things that John sees in verse 14. It says, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, all right? And on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Remember I said earlier that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and Jesus is the cornerstone? Well, here are 12 foundations of the New Jerusalem, and on each one is a name of one of the apostles. Now, two of those names written there will be James, the son of Alphaeus, and Judas, the son of James. And there they will be remembered and honored for all eternity. What's greater, right? Being remembered for a few decades or even a few centuries here on earth, or being remembered for all of eternity, right? Perhaps the most famous quote by the artist Andy Warhol is, in the future, everyone will be world famous for 15 minutes. Ironically, Warhol's famous for saying something that he may not have ever actually said. But whether your name is known here for 15 seconds, for 15 minutes, for 15 years, or even 15 centuries, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that your name is known for all of eternity. Right? You can strive all of your life for 15 minutes of fame and never find it. And even if you do, I mean, even if you're like the most popular kid at your school, right, you're the most accomplished person in the company that you work for, you know, even if you're a published author, even if you appear on television, even if you're, you know, have a number one hit song somewhere, right? Ultimately, what does that matter in eternity, right? It doesn't matter. But there's one decision that you can make right now, today, that will ensure that your name is known for eternity. Later on, in John's vision of the New Jerusalem, he sees something else. And here's what he says, beginning with verse 22. I want to read this in context. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. The glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. And on no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful. And here it is. But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Your name can be written there for all of eternity. And when you choose to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your name is written in the book of life. And having your name written there, that is your pass into the New Jerusalem, right? That is your citizenship in the heavenly city. Now, if you could pick where to be famous, where would you pick? Here or heaven? We all live lives of varying significance and influence. But at the end of it all, what matters is not what other people say about us, but it's what our Lord Jesus says about us. And the words we want to hear from Jesus are what he says in Matthew 25, 23. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come, share your master's happiness. That's the eulogy for which we should all live. When you die, if the only thing that is known about you is that your name is written down somewhere, where is it written down? Thank you, and God bless.